All right. Well, let's turn to our scripture reading for this morning's sermon. I'm going to have my Bible open to Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12. You can follow with me if you brought your Bible with you, or if you have an app on your smartphone that you want to make use of, you're more than welcome to do so. Psalm 62, I'm going to read the last two verses for this morning's scripture reading, verses 11 and 12. Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12. Psalm 62, verse 11. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. This is God's word. Right. Well, as you're all aware by now, we are celebrating many highlights today. We have our graduates, first of all. We have nine of our friends from elementary school, six from junior high, three of our high school grads, and two friends who finished up college this year. And again, we're so proud of all these students who persevered through especially the last year and a half, 2 years with COVID and online learning and hybrid learning and everything in between. And again, we're going to continue our celebration with the Kona ice truck that I think is on its way here right now. So looking forward to that. Yesterday, our nation also officially celebrated Juneteenth for the first time. Some of us may have heard that President Biden signed a bill this past Thursday making Juneteenth a federal holiday. I actually didn't learn about Juneteenth until very recently, and I'm guessing that's the case for many of us because Juneteenth was never taught in the public school system, at least not here in the western suburbs where I grew up. According to an article published last Friday in the Washington Post, Juneteenth celebrates an event, and I quote here now, an event when Union soldiers brought the news of freedom to enslaved Black people in Galveston, Texas, some 2.5 years after President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation had freed slaves in the southern states. In other words, the proclamation was made and declared, the war was finished, and some states in the south were still practicing slavery until this announcement made on Juneteenth when the Union soldiers declared freedom for the enslaved Black people down there in Galveston. Another article from the Associated Press observes that the term Juneteenth is a blend of the words June and 19th. The holiday has also been called Juneteenth Independence Day or Freedom Day. Often celebrated at first with church picnics and speeches, this holiday spread across the nation and internationally as Black Texans moved elsewhere. There are many who have noted rightly, I think, that while this decision to make Juneteenth a national holiday is a good step in the right direction, it is only a step. There's still a lot of work to be done for racial justice. But having said that, it's definitely progress and a moment to celebrate. And so we're celebrating our graduates as a church, and our nation celebrated Juneteenth yesterday. Today is also Father's Day. To all the fellow dads here, happy Father's Day. I hope you all feel loved and appreciated more than usual this morning and this day. Since today is Father's Day, I thought I would talk about the topic of dads and fatherhood this morning. I know that not all of us who are here, not all of us who are watching are dads, but many of us are. Many of us have dads still. We have memories of our own dads, whether they're still alive and maybe sitting right next to you or in front of you, or if they've passed on. And so I thought I'd take a break from our James series to talk about dads and about fatherhood. But I also wanted to try to keep this brief because of time. We had a lot going on today and still more to come after our service. So today's sermon will be more devotional in flavor rather than an in-depth exposition of the text. This is going to be a Father's Day meditation. And I'm going to be drawing a lot from my own personal experience with my dad as well. I know some of us have lost our dads. It may have happened recently or a while ago, and I think many of you know that my own dad, he passed away from cancer when I was a high school freshman. And so that means that I have now lived twice as many years without him than the 15 years that I enjoyed with him, or 14 years. And so my memories of my dad seem foggier and foggier as the years go by. But when I think about the kind of man that my dad was, the kind of father that he was, there are two words in particular that come to mind. The first word is strength. Strength. Before he got sick, my dad did things that nobody else in our family could do. I grew up in unincorporated Glen Ellen, right by the Walmart on 53 and Butterfield Road, just a couple towns over. And I remember my home at the time where I grew up had this water softener in the basement. I don't even know if water softeners exist in homes nowadays, but what it basically meant is that every so often we had to put a large block of salt in the water softener to make the water less hard, I guess. And for the longest time, the only person who was able to do this was my dad. I remember him kind of going to the garage and carrying this, huge 50-pound block of salt, taking it down to the basement and putting it in the water softener. And I thought, wow, that must be really tough. And then I remember I felt so proud of myself when I was finally asked to do it and I was able to do it on my own. I felt so proud. And then after doing it for a few times, I quickly realized, man, this really stinks. I hate doing this. Like, why am I doing this? And I felt the same way actually when I finally learned how to use the lawnmower. You feel so proud of yourself. And then after a while, you're like, man, this stinks. Like, I hate mowing the lawn. Why do I have to do this? I also remember a number of times when my left hand hurt after playing catch with my dad outside because he would throw the baseball so hard when we played catch. Remember, my dad was a lefty too. I still have his lefty baseball glove. When my sister and I were kids, we both simply assumed that my dad was the strongest person in our family, and that wasn't a bad thing. I think, in fact, it actually was a source of comfort for us. My dad's presence in our family made us feel safe. Strength is one of the first words that come to mind. The other word that comes to mind when I think of my dad is love. You're growing up, I think there was a sense that my dad was the leader of the family. When he would speak in a certain way, my sister and I knew that that was kind of a clue to stop whatever it is we were doing and kind of straighten up and listen more carefully. And I think a lot of that had to do with our traditional Asian cultural upbringing, which is definitely more patriarchal, though I have to say, my mom did hold her own. If you know anything about my mom, she's no pushover. Mom, if you're listening right now, I love you, okay? But having said this, my dad, I don't think was your typical Asian father. I had many uncles, and I knew many men from the Korean immigrant church I attended for a while who kind of fit that stereotype a bit more. More distant, more aloof emotionally, not as good at expressing their feelings. And it's not because they didn't care. I think these men did care. They just weren't as good about expressing it with their words. Now, my dad, on the other hand, he spoke English very well. It's actually one of the main reasons why my Korean to this day is still so bad. And so I remember having a lot of conversations with my dad about a lot of different topics like sports, music, current events, even politics. I remember my dad would take me on these all-day fishing trips, which I actually didn't enjoy a whole lot. It's one of the reasons why, unlike some of our other elders, fishing isn't just my thing. My dad would force me to go. He also took me to baseball games. I still remember him wearing a Cubs hat to a White Sox game, a White Sox home against the Orioles. My dad got us bowl season tickets one year. I remember still going to a couple games in the mid to late 80s where Michael Jordan dropped 40-plus points against their opponents. My dad wasn't perfect. He could flash the occasional temper, but he definitely was not an emotionally distant person. I actually remember him being very warm, very gentle, even funny. He actually had a very silly, almost like kid-like personality about him. And I remember he actually wasn't afraid to show his emotions. There was one particular Sunday morning at church where we were sitting together in the main worship service, which was kind of standard practice where we attended in downtown Wheaton. So we would always sit together with the parents. And I remember one worship service where I just kind of turned my head as the pastor was preaching. And I saw my dad crying during the sermon. I remember feeling really awkward at that moment because I had no idea what was going on. And it wasn't after until he died when it dawned on me that my dad was probably crying at the moment because he was responding emotionally to something that he heard in that sermon, in that message. And so in a rather remarkable way, my dad, I think, consistently modeled both strength and love. His authority, strength, often came hand in hand with a tenderness, even a gentleness, that I found unusual for a traditional first-generation Korean father. And I think in this sense, my dad fulfilled what I think is the greatest duty and privilege that any father can have, and that is he gave me a glimpse. My dad gave me a small glimpse of who God is. Now, of course, there were a lot of things my dad did to do this. He made it a point to have our family read the Bible together a lot. I remember not enjoying that so much as a kid, the nightly Bible readings. I remember walking into my dad's study without knocking first, and I would just kind of open the door like any impolite kid would. And I remember a few times just seeing him praying. We went to church together pretty much every week. My dad loved to sing hymns while sitting at the piano at home. He would play really loud and sing really loud, even late into the night, and drive me and my sister absolutely nuts. I still have a copy of my dad's Greek New Testament and some of the books he used for his personal Bible study. But you know, it wasn't just what my dad did that pointed me to God, but it was really just who he was. It was just his overall character, his remarkable balance between that strength and love that I remember the most. You know, we see God described in the same terms in the verses that we read this morning from Psalm 62. King David says, "Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you'll render to a man according to his work." And we find a rather interesting phrase there in the beginning of verse 11. It says, "Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this." That's actually a literary device known as a stair-step progression. And we find it in other passages, especially in the poetic and prophetic books of the Old Testament, like, for example, Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 and 16, which says, "The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough: the grave, the barren womb, land, which is never satisfied with water, and fire, which never says enough." Old Testament authors would use this kind of stair-step progression writing style to emphasize what they're about to say next. And in our case, in Psalm 62, verse 11, when King David says, "Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this," he's basically saying, "Listen up, I'm about to say something really important, so pay attention." And what does he say? He says, "Power belongs to God, and to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love." David, interestingly, calls our attention to two specific attributes of God, his power and his steadfast love. And what I appreciate most about this is that he mentions both of these attributes, power and steadfast love. Each of these attributes are important, but one without the other, I think, would be a scary scenario, especially if you're dealing with pain or disappointment or sadness. Let's imagine for a moment that God was only power but without love. I think that would be a frightening scenario. We'd have no idea whether this all-powerful God truly cares about us. And so every time we experience hardship or difficulty, we'd wonder if God is just simply out there to make our lives miserable. A God who has only limitless power but without any love would be effectively a tyrant. But on the other hand, let's think about love without any power. That'd be frightening too, I think. A God whose only love, without any power, would be nothing more than just a gentle grandparent figure. Yes, he might have the very best of intentions, but when hardship or when difficulty enter into the picture, how do we know whether or not this God would be able to help us? Even if he genuinely wanted to, we couldn't know. But a God who is both powerful and loving, I think that's a God we can trust even when times are hard, especially when times are hard. And that's really the main theme of this psalm. We can trust God when times are hard because he is both all-powerful and he's a God of love. When he wrote this psalm, it seems David was in a situation where his enemies were attacking him and they evidently had the upper hand. But in verses 7 and 8, this is before our passage, David declares, "On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Even when he was weak and vulnerable, David knew that he could trust God. I think the lesson for us this morning is that you and I, we can also trust God because he is both powerful and loving. Because he's a God of steadfast love, we can know that he will always have our long-term best interests in mind, even when we're going through a rough patch, a difficult season. And yet, since God is also God who's all-powerful, we can know that he will use any and every circumstance to carry out those interests. His plan will not be defeated. His good plans for us. And so my hope and my prayer for myself, for all the dads who are here, fellow dads on this Father's Day, for all of us, is that we might be able to point our kids to God, to give them just a small glimpse of who God is. I think that's the greatest privilege of fatherhood. For our fellow dads, may our sons and daughters look at us, not just at what we do, but really who we are. And I pray that they'll see this beautiful blend of strength and love that will show them the heart of the true Father. Power belongs to him, and with him is steadfast love. Let's pray together. Lord, I know that for some of us here, our relationships with our dads might not bring up the happiest of memories. I know that also there are some of us who struggle with guilt over our own mistakes and shortcomings as dads. For some of us, this is why Father's Day is actually tough. It's a tough holiday. We don't really feel like celebrating. But we come to you this morning. We come to you as your children, as your dearly loved children. We approach you as our all-powerful and ever-loving Father. And we pray that you would help us to renew our trust in you today and each and every day of our lives. Jesus, we thank you that though you are in the very nature God, you're willing to become one of us, a frail human being. And we thank you for showing the greatest demonstration of love by suffering and dying and rising again for us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to find our strength and our encouragement and our hope from you so that by your grace, we might be able to point our families to you. And in those times when we face hardship or discouragement or doubt, we pray that you'd help us to remember that you're a God who will reward everyone according to what they have done. And so, Lord, on that note, we thank you, especially for our hope in the gospel, that you are a God who will reward your children according to what Jesus has done on our behalf. Lord, I ask for your special blessing, not only upon our many graduates today, but also our wonderful, amazing dads here in this church. May they know your favor and your love in a special way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.